Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 379. After a week off, this is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing absolutely fine, Kevin.
Excelente. I am quite shocked at the current moment due to the fact that Kent State, who is an awful 3-6 in college football, they even lost to one of their own patsies that they brought to Kent. I forget who it was. It was like a Division II school or whatever they're called now. Beat them. Was it Georgia State or something like that? Ah, whatever. Fuck it. They're terrible. That I don't really need to look it up. But for some reason, they are hanging tough against number 21, Western Michigan, at the current moment. So that will be my viewing pleasure. And I was double screening it today. I did not feel... SmackDown was not interesting enough this week to... to warrant full attention. So I watched the game on the computer while SmackDown played, and I mean, we didn't talk much before the open, but SmackDown and Raw were very similar this week. There were a few differences. One being that SmackDown had actually hyped a match for Glasgow, unlike Raw. And that really did deliver the only quality match that Glasgow got the entire 5 hours of TV tapings.
That's amazing. I think it was... Yeah, when you put it that way.
I'm not saying, you know, that they didn't try or anything like that. I'm just saying that all they did on both shows is go, oh, well, we have, the women's team, let's trot them out. We have the men's team, let's trot them out. We have the tag teams, and we trot them out. You know, and then it's just kind of weird. While I guess I don't disagree with the sentiment that they're trying to put together their highest caliber people, it is a rather odd situation that both teams hate each other going into this thing.
All three matches have people who hate each other on them. It's a ridiculously uninspired, repetitive build for all of these matches here. I didn't like it last week. I'm not a fan of it this week. You know, why are these people being booked against each other? Why are they not being forced to team together and get along and work on their teamwork? It makes no sense to me. Why are these feuds allowed? You know, and why do these people care?
Oh,
There's only one person on any of the teams who has any reason to care, and that's the newest member of the SmackDown men's team, Shane O'Mac. Yes, Shane McMahon returns to the ring at Survivor Series. Woo.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where when they picked Baron Corbin, I suppose I was quite surprised.
I mean, it's an upgrade. I'll give it that. But
yeah, the thing is, I guess with that, like, I know that Shane is kind of a big guy, but it is really weird that SmackDown doesn't have anyone really close to Braun Strowman's size. Like, they always kind of do that, oh, everyone kind of has, a team member that's an equivalent size.
Right, yeah.
And they're not doing that with this.
I mean, obviously, many over the last, 17 years or so, there have been plenty of moments I've enjoyed Shane McMahon in the ring. But the vast majority of those moments were created because he was dragged into a match. And the Shane McMahon moments that sucked were because he was playing Super Shane, and he's the toughest guy on the block, and he's gonna get in there and fight these full time wrestlers and go toe to toe with them, which is completely willingly. I'm not a fan of it at all. It's just it buries the rest of your roster. It's not a good move in my opinion.
I guess I'm more worried because it puts him in an actual match. Like when he has good matches, it's always where he can hide the deficiency that he isn't really a wrestler. Mm-hmm. He is one of those guys that he is definitely a performer. And he gets to do dumb spots, whatever they are, whether it's off the Titantron, through the plexiglass, off the Hell in a Cell. There's always some big moment so you can remember his matchups, but it's not always, a wrestling match. And Survivor Series, for the most part, has always been something of a wrestling match. I guess to me, the Royal Rumble or any type of Battle Royal type of match, like, it's not a conventional match. But, really, Survivor Series matches kind of work conventionally outside of, people getting pinned entirely too quickly.
That's very true, yeah. Shane is going to be put in a position, unless he's eliminated early, that he is going to be going toe-to-toe, going hold-for-hold with the best Raw has to offer. The current Universal Champion, 25-year veteran in Jericho, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, the two top baby faces, and Braun Strowman. Oh, that could be interesting. Oh, if Braun Strowman, if he has to sell for Shane McMahon, ugh, that's gonna be brutal for that guy.
And I guess that's another one that, to me, it kind of shows that, while SmackDown might be doing better, if you can't find a fifth guy to fill that spot, and his name isn't Shane McMahon, I guess I question what's going on.
He's there every week. He's co-mingling with everyone involved. Why not Kane then?
I kind of expected, because Kane to me was it's a safe choice. Then they have the body matchup that I was talking about with Braun Strowman and Kane.
That's you could have done. Or I was also thinking maybe it could be the Undertaker since he's coming back next week. But it's Shane.
Yeah, and you'd think that kind of thing would be perfect for Undertaker, just because he wouldn't have to work much of a match.
Right. But either he'd have to win, or they have to get him out somehow. I guess that'd be a reason why not. And he's not physically, all there yet after hip surgery. That's probably a big reason why as well.
Oh man. Minorly distracting me, my father-in-law texting me about the game.
maybe these matches will be laid out good, and they'll be really entertaining, but nothing's changed the fact that this is a one-man show.
Oh, Survivor Series?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a one-match show, and all the feuds are basically in a holding pattern in Survivor Series elimination matches, which is basically what they did 20, 25 years ago, so... one of 30 years ago now.
Yeah, it was kind of funny with them mentioning how many matches were just on hold. Or at least people saying that they were going to put their feud on hold, and then they started punching each other, which was a very repetitive theme this week.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, but back in the day, Survivor Series was people who are feuding on opposite sides of teams so they can keep their feud simmering and not do the big one-on-one matches yet. This is different. This is people feuding and teaming with each other.
Yeah, it's kind of weird what they have going on there.
Yeah, it really is.
And I think it kind of goes back to what you said. Like, it makes it really hard. Like, at least if everyone gets along, you're like, oh, you want baby faces versus heels. So you kind of have a direction to root. When you make everybody hate everybody.
I know Shane and Daniel Bryan are going to be on Raw Monday, and they're going to have their debate. Yeah, real great idea. That would be creative. Let's do a political themed show the Monday after the election. Yeah. People really want that. By the way, I'm so upset by it. But no, with Shane and Daniel Bryan on Raw confronting Stephanie and Mick Foley. Hopefully, maybe they'll come to some kind of agreement that something is at stake here in these matches.
I don't know, but
something.
I was glad on SmackDown that they said that the SmackDown roster would get a shot at the Cruiserweight title because of the whole Intercontinental title matchup with Dolph Ziggler and Sami Zayn. It was just like, hold on, why would you agree to this? Like, I mean, I know that the Dolph Ziggler had put out the challenge.
Yeah.
But it still seems like an ill-advised, like, you can go, no, you can't do that. Like, Shane and Daniel Bryan could just bat down the idea to start with.
Well, no. In exchange, they have the opportunity to pick up an entire division. So this is starting to look bad on Stephanie and Mick Foley.
Oh, hold on.
They're going to lose 12 guys if Kalisto can win the win the Cruiserweight title.
Oh, I didn't realize they were losing the whole division.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole Cruiserweight division comes to SmackDown. which, of course, makes sense with the new show doing, 205 Live being live from SmackDown tapings. For SmackDown shows. So I'm assuming that the title will change there. But maybe it won't.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that was at least a possibility or at least an idea that was out there.
No. They came right out and said it. SmackDown gets the entire Cruiserweight division.
Oh. Wow.
If Kalisto wins.
And that's craziness. Yeah, that is wild. Yeah, that's I definitely did miss that part. That's what a two-screen experience does for you sometimes.
Yes, so.
You're not always paying attention. Yeah, that is way lopsided for SmackDown. At least in the reward sense, it is for SmackDown. The IC title is at least a more established title.
Right, yeah.
But,
it is, and it was... established very, very early on in this whole split, brand split process, that SmackDown and especially Daniel Bryan values the Intercontinental title. So that is an opportunity to take for Raw to take something that's important to SmackDown. I mean, how you equivocate, you know, losing an entire division of, you know, about a dozen guys, I don't know, but at least it's something.
Yeah, even if the cruiserweight title isn't as prestigious, and come on, it isn't.
Right. It's a loss of all the talent on this 3-hour show that needs bodies.
Yeah, I mean that's just a lot of people too. That's kind of like the Herschel Walker deal. Where it's great that you're getting a great player, but you're still giving up entirely too much just to get that great player.
There are still cruiserweights that haven't even shown up yet. Because they got Grand Metalik and Akira Tozawa, who both need to finish up, you know, in their respective home countries and before coming over here. So, and you're just going to lose this whole... You're risking losing this whole thing.
Wow, yeah. That went from bad on one side to really bad on the other.
Right.
Yeah, especially if those guys are coming... And I guess that was, I mean, that was just another one of those strange moments on Raw this week. Just speaking about debuts, Noam Dar making his debut on Raw.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna say I actually missed that. I made a decision to just not watch the first hour of Raw. Because I had read the spoilers, and it sounded like we were in for a long night.
I guess I literally read these spoilers.
I'm like, how the hell is this show stretched out to 3 hours? I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, well, and that was another... two things. You and I talked about it, again, briefly before getting on there. Like, we were like, well, which show are we going to start with? And I remember talking to Jeremy earlier today, and he says to me, more in your fashion... He's just like, remember that long segment on Raw? He's like, it was so long, I went to take a shower and came back and it was still going. And I'm like, well, which segment was that?
Was it the tag team one?
That is the one. You are correct, sir.
That was interminable. Oh, and it was the least funny. I think the New Day and Enzo and Cass have ever been. It was bad.
I mean just all of it is such a low light to the cooperation part that is needed in Survivor Series. Like, I can just see a bunch of cheap walkout eliminations come Survivor Series. Or someone flat turns on somebody else during the match.
Yeah, that's kind of been since, I think, July, Braun Strowman and Nia Jax have pretty much been on the exact same career path. Like, literally the exact same career path. And they pretty much have to get them both out of their Survivor Series matches without pinning them. They basically have to do the same thing, both, or at least try to make it something different.
I kind of forgot about that problem that they have. I honestly forgot about Nia Jax. Like, I keep on forgetting about her. She went from, because they were having her in the similar matches as Strowman early on, and then I feel like until the last 2 weeks that she's been on, Because she re-debuted kind of last week.
She was definitely not focused on at all in the weeks leading up to Hell in a Cell, because there were already two women's feuds going on at the same time. And they'd already done something with her and Alicia Fox. And, yeah. So, no. They held her off for a few weeks, and yeah, now she's, you know, mixing up with the main girls. I don't know what exactly they're going to do. She has to be, well, you know, NXT proved, you know, you're not going to get the best matches in the world, but there is a way to use them. And I'm not sure exactly where she fits in.
Yeah, that's kind of the other thing that, when the WWE went small, it happened in the women's division, too. Charlotte's the only one physically that comes close to matching up with, Nia Jax. And I don't think you want that feud quite right now.
No, you don't want, you know, one of them has to, well, Charlotte has to be the baby face in that feud, I would think. And that's not going to happen anytime soon. I guess you could do Nia Jax and Sasha Banks, or Nia Jax, what they have done, or Nia Jax and Bayley, and they've done Nia Jax and Bayley a number of times at NXT.
Right.
You know, It's no different than the Big Show taking on just about anyone else on the roster. I mean, you make size differences work. I mean,
yeah, that's true. yeah, but you're right though. Like both her and Strowman, I guess to go back to the original point, was that neither of them can really be pinned.
No.
Or submitted, which would be whatever really crazy. Whatever they have
only lasts till that first time they lose. I mean, they're freak show attractions. And the freak show attraction only lasts until they start losing. Because they're not really good at anything else. Unless there's something in them that they haven't shown yet.
Yeah, I guess that's one of those things that with Nia Jax, I guess I feel like I've seen her in more matches. Braun Strowman, I guess because I haven't seen him in a match of any notoriety, I cannot definitively say that he's terrible.
Right.
I am assuming he is not going to have a nice long match. And, you know, it does. That limits his potential more than, you know, say a Big Show who could still work quite a match.
Yeah.
Despite the size difference. Like, Strowman hasn't proven it yet, but considering how much they've protected him, like, it makes me assume that he isn't good enough to do that type of work yet.
Right. I mean, I think they've had him work, you know, with Sami Zayn on the house shows doing longer matches, which is what they need to do. You know, maybe he can get there. You know, but right now, you protect him until you want to put him into a position where he can't he can lose to someone who will gain from beating him.
Yeah. And we completely because we were just talking about the blah shows. How we move on to the, was it the ladies? I'm just trying to figure out how to reverse engineer where we started with that whole one.
I
Because you went back to I at least mentioned, and this is the point that I was going to try to get back to, because you mentioned that you didn't see Noam Dar because of the plain terribleness of what you read about Raw and how they stretched it out. And I mean, both of these shows just seem super stretched out. Like, I felt really bad. Like, I still feel really bad for Glasgow for having that. Like, I know that those overseas shows are always a little bit different, but I don't understand why they have to be.
That's a good question. It's like the writing team decides to take the week off. Although they did script a lot more. Usually on the overseas shows, they screw it and book a lot of long matches. But that wasn't the case this time because there was a lot of talking.
Oh.
I mean, there was way too much talking over the course of those two nights. If I paid tickets to go to see both shows, and that's what I got, I don't know if I'd ever go back. I mean, Raw. I mean, going to WWE TV can be a crapshoot as far as, you know, the in ring to talking ratio, but that was ridiculous to do that to the same market two straight nights in a row, same city two straight nights in a row.
I mean, and I guess we started at the top of the show with it, but the Alexa Bliss versus Becky Lynch match was the only match of any consequence.
It really was, and I liked the match. It was a good match. I was rolling my eyes at them calling it a main event and then putting it in the middle of the show. They really need to stop doing that. It's just bad form. I mean, there are special occasions when you can move things around, but if you call something the main event, it should, more times than not, it should go on last.
Although,
obviously with that finish, they didn't obviously that was not the finish to end SmackDown on.
Well, and I could even go with co-main event or. Yeah, because that's what they say in the, next to last match in the UFC. It's the co-main event. Or is it... I'm trying to think of what else... I think that's usually what it's called. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it being called the co-main event, in my opinion, I guess. But main event, strictly, is the last match. You know, So I agree with you in that department. Like it reminded me of when my brother was going to Ohio State. They were on the quarter system, and you know their quarter was so long, and like a week into classes, he's like, "I have a midterm," and I'm like, "You're 1 week into classes. You have 8 left. That's not the middle of the term. How can you have a midterm?" Like, it's in the word. Like, I don't know how else to explain this. And main event's the same thing. It's the last match. You know, it's the main event. There's no getting around this. Co-main event, cool. Main event, yeah, not so cool, man. But the rest of the matches were just...
Actually, let's talk about that finish. They booked the screwjob finish.
The referee didn't see it. Decision.
Referee didn't see the foot on the road. And then they immediately go to Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, who have in the past restarted matches that had that kind of chicanery or that kind of referee mistake, and for some reason tonight the decision just stands. That was bullshit. Alexa Bliss was screwed.
Yeah, I only hope that they're lazy until the fact that I would imagine, and that is at least the good thing about the end of that match. Like, when it happens to the good guy, I guess you feel like they got ripped off. With the heel, you can always play it as, you know, the heel themselves, or herself in this case, can come out and say, I got screwed, I should get a rematch. And yeah,
and you're right, and Alexa was on Talking Smack tonight, so she was, you know, face-to-face with Daniel Bryan. I'm sure maybe something was worked out. I haven't watched it. I'll probably wish she won't watch Talking Smack until tomorrow now. Because I guess there's other things on tonight. I'm not really sure what though. but yeah, I just didn't like the flippant nature, because they are supposed to be not you know, biased towards the baby faces. They're supposed to be the fair and just, you know, authority figures.
Oh, yeah, and they have played them that way for the most part. But they definitely didn't do that in this situation. You know, I would have been fine with them just going, oh yeah, she'll need to get a rematch sometime.
Yeah, no, they just blew it off and moved on to The Miz. That was it. And I really did enjoy the Daniel Bryan going into this huge explanation of the stipulations for the Cruiserweight match in front of Miz and Maryse. Like, why do we care? Why are you telling us this?
yeah, and I mean, I guess that's one of those things that it does make some sense to, you know, pressure The Miz into this match. And that's the kind of leverage that I guess that you need from Daniel Bryan, since The Miz has an ironclad contract.
Right.
Which, of course, any Hollywood movie star would get, of course, if it was 1980. That just seems like they should come up with something new for that term.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. What the... Why did I derail that bad?
I don't know. Because this might have been the most boring week in wrestling we've had in months.
And I guess that is part of the problem, maybe, is that it's one of these ones like, hey, let's just wrap it up. But
no, we can't do that to the people. We've only been going for about a half an hour here. Come on.
Well, yeah, that is part of it. But I mean, it was really strange that everything was just kind of in general on hold this week. Because even, and this, no, I can't really segue into that. What do I want to go with? Well, shit. I was just going to move on to TNA, just because.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, whatever. I'm sure we'll get back to the WWE. But in the interest of at least trying to spice things up here. You know, I had not watched Impact since... when was that? Final Deletion. I watched that. And then I took off the last month or so. And I came back and... Wow, that product not any better than it was.
It's not good. I mean, I don't know what Dave Meltzer and Wade Keller are smoking when they say the show is 60% good or that much or better than WWE programming or anything of that sort. It is not a good. You know, even the Hardys are starting to get a little long in the teeth. I mean, now granted, you have not been watching Impact, but when they did that backstage brawl with the DCC, the Masked Guys, it was basically a carbon copy of a backstage brawl they did with Decay about a month or so ago. I mean, you've been paired off, going all over the building, movie style production and seeing sound effects and things of that nature. You know, that they've done that before.
I did not get the context for those guys until a little bit later. I believe Jeremy showed it to me, or I watched it after figuring out who Itchweed was.
Oh, Itchweed.
The Hardy stuff, that still, to me, was pretty entertaining. Like, the whole angle that they're going to go with Matt Hardy losing his memory, it's one of those things where, I guess since my wife actually watches soap operas, I have some type of baseline to compare that soap opera to quote-unquote men's soap opera in wrestling. And there is a very effective use of the old memory wiping ails of a concussion in actual soap operas. And I think, you know, I don't know, maybe it'll be bad, but again, at least it's something that is different. It's fairly entertaining.
It's definitely got some potential. I mean, obviously, we're getting on a month away from what are supposed to be one, maybe two shows at the Hardy compound entirely. So obviously, Matt has to get over his amnesia somewhat quick.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I can see those shows. If they do the total nonstop deletion and then followed up with a very hearty Christmas, that might be my fill of this Hardy stuff. Depending on if they add some new wrinkle to it or do something that can carry it through, you know, into 2017.
Oh, I mean, it's helped that I would imagine that they have some cartoony characters that they were able to drag into the feud. Decay was perfectly fit for them. Whatever this DCC thing is, and I feel like I saw it explained and I already forgot about it.
I've heard who's under the mask, but I don't know if that actually gets revealed. So technically, it could be anybody actually under the mask when they're ever revealed.
Okay, I felt like I had read that, but like I said, I think I forgot, and I don't really care to look it up at the current moment. I mean, there's only so many, the carousel of wacky people at some point will probably get, boring, and they'll have to move along. But, it seems like it's been a fun ride for the most part.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride. I mean, I'm going to ratted out through these shows at the end of the year. I mean, definitely, I'm sure those will feature a number of entertaining moments. But the non-Hardy stuff on the rest of that show, ugh. I mean, they've even killed off Lash.
That was one thing that
that so I have nothing else. When they do that,
I kind of understand what they're doing, at least in trying to make Eddie Edwards, a viable champion.
I don't understand why they're trying to do that in the first place.
But yeah, that's a large part of the problem. I don't know why they're doing it. The build-up that they had on last week's show to kind of show you how far he's come along and everything that's happened, it wasn't really heart-wrenching.
Right, no. I mean, Eddie Edwards is... I mean, it's Davey Richards who's, battled through injury after injury after injury, and... according to him, he's looking at getting out of wrestling entirely in 2017. But Eddie Edwards has had maybe there was a period where he was injured, but I still feel that Eddie is a pretty nondescript, bland guy. Who's better off in a tag team?
He's one of the, and I think I've kind of mentioned it in the Almost Live and definitely half-assed review of Impact Wrestling. That he's one of those guys where I don't think he's terrible on the mic. I don't think he's great on the mic. I don't think he's terrible in the ring. I don't think he's great in the ring either. I don't know. He's versatile, but he doesn't really stand out for anything.
No. He's good. He's just good. And on his best day, he can absolutely have great matches. But so can Bobby Lashley, and he has all the other intangibles you want too. He's improved his interviews, his talking 1,000% since his WWE run.
And that was something that I feel like has been a stunt granny hobby horse that I did not jump on. I think you've mentioned it, Jeremy's mentioned it, and even Shahid, I think, had mentioned it, how good his promos were. And that was one of those things on Impact Wrestling. I'm like, oh man, yeah. Okay, I completely see what the guys are talking about.
Yeah, I have no I have no idea, unless his contract is coming up and he's not resigning, why you wouldn't want him just continuing to reign as your champion into the end of the new year when you really don't have anything better. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. Now, granted, there's a low ceiling to what TNA, what a money match in TNA can be, but you keep Bobby Lashley and Moose apart for 6 months to a year and really build up to that. They've had two matches on television since Moose showed up.
Oh my God, they've already had two matches?
Yep, and Bobby Lashley beat him clean in the last one. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am glad that Stunt Granny Brewing All Red Everything is 8.9% alcohol just after hearing that.
Yeah, wish I had some of that over here. Yeah, just thinking about that.
Oh my gosh.
I don't
get it.
I don't don't get it either.
It's one of those things, and I guess it's the only thing that we haven't really talked about. And I mean, I know that it's not, it's kind of dead horse territory, but maybe you and Jeremy closed the book on Billy Corrigan, seemingly shut out of this whole TNA power struggle.
That, hey, no, no, no. He has 36% of a company that's worth nothing. So, hey, he's not shut out here.
He's got 36% of nothing, huh?
Yep, yes, he does. But, no, I mean, obviously he's playing a game to get his money back plus 50%. They are absolute. I mean, this sale, that's everything but a sale, is absolutely ridiculous. And I hope, now granted, it seems like it's legal under Tennessee law that TNA can operate like this, but I do hope he gets, I think it's his $2.7 million. I think that there's absolutely been a sale. you can use all the fancy words you want.
Oh,
Anthem is in control of TNA.
Yeah, and even if you have 36%, that's still not enough to really do anything.
No, it's not. No, because the other, I gotta do math now. 64% is still firmly with Anthem, Aerolux, and Dixie, who are all together and are not going to vote. You know, Aerolux and Dixie are not going to vote against Anthem.
Oh, right.
I mean, if he wants to show up to all the TV tapings and show up in the office in Nashville and take a seat at the table around a bunch of people who hate him, I guess he could do that if he's got time. But I'm pretty sure at this point he just wants his money back, because I don't see. I mean, it's already been ruled. I mean, it's already looks like it was an illegal agreement that was made between the two sides, so you know, I don't see him having any, you know, claim to majority interest, the majority share at this point. But he is owed his money back, and that's based on the terms of his agreement that apparently the part that actually is legal.
Yeah, he may as well cut his losses at this point.
Although an interesting factor in this that nobody's really talking about is, if on paper Dixie still owns the majority of TNA, she can still screw over the Anthem and Aerolux people if she wants to.
Oh. Yeah, how you leave her the head of all of that, even though they own them now, essentially, is something that I have no idea how.
Yeah, I have no idea how this. Once again, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, the Pop TV deal is up in April. Pop TV spends no money on this show, basically. It's programming that I'm sure does higher than their average, if not, you know, the highest rated show they have. So maybe they'll just keep it on as something to put on Thursday nights. But if they decide that they want to go in a different direction, I'm not going to miss this show, and I'm not going to seek out, you know, go out of my way to seek out ways to watch it on YouTube or pay, I think, $3.99 or $4.99 or something like that for the Fight Network app to watch it. It will pretty much be done in my life. If there's not an easy way to watch it on my TV, on my cable box.
Yeah, I mean, it took me quite a while to break down and finally start watching it on Pop anyway. And I still didn't even, haven't even recorded it on the regular, since doing that. So, you know, It's I guess it'll be interesting a little bit what happens going forward. But you know, I don't know. Is there anything else to wrap up on in this kind of awful week of wrestling? Well, I guess we could talk about it. I mean, because it is the one match in the whole thing. Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg build up.
It's been fine because it's been simple. They've done nothing to overwrite or overproduce anything. Granted, we still have one more week, and they do have to do a face to face segment. But I'm hoping it doesn't get physical. I hope it ends with them just being face to face with each other, because there's too much of a risk of it just looking clunky when they. Now, granted, I guess it doesn't matter because we're not selling $60 pay per views anymore. It's the network that people already have. You know, people are going to most people who have the network are going to watch it. But I guess from my anticipation standpoint, I don't want to watch them have a clumsy brawl on Monday.
Yeah, I would imagine
unless unless it's so clumsy, it makes me think, oh boy, someone might actually get really hurt on Sunday.
Oh man, well, I think that possibility still exists.
But no, I mean, again, everything they've done has been simple. I mean, Brock, you know, absolutely thrives in the sit-down, you know, environment where he can curse up a storm and know that he'll be bleeped, you know, so, and just be Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he does, like, not that he's ever, I think, bad on the mic, but those sit-down interviews really are really awesome.
Yeah, they are awesome. I mean, they can send chills down your spine. They make you think, I'm glad this guy's not coming at not looking to come after me. I mean, so they do their job in that respect, absolutely.
Yeah, and it is kind of hilarious that he's just telling Goldberg's family just not to come. Not that really Brock is any spring chicken, but he's still quite a bit younger than Bill Goldberg. So there is something to it. Well, I guess I do. I'm glad the beer turned out. This is the All Red Everything is for a buddy's wedding this coming Saturday. 8.9% alcohol, 66.6 IBUs, so it's quite a bit hoppier than the addition that I made last year. I'm good with that. So, I don't know. I got nothing. I think we've stretched out what we could here.
This week. Think so too. I mean, hopefully next week we'll be a busier weekend. Actually, both Raw and SmackDown have big shows planned for next week, so I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about. Maybe there will be more in the TNA lawsuit. Maybe some other, you know, news will break. But, you know, obviously it's slow news week in wrestling. I'm sure, I don't even know how many people are actually going to listen to this tomorrow, although we're going to be very happy to provide you with, if you want to, some entertainment, some entertainment that doesn't talk about you-know-what.
Yep, election night is upon us, and we are going to hit stop and, well, probably see what goes on. Hopefully you decide to choose us for your podcasting pleasure. And if you do, remember to rate us on iTunes or on SoundCloud. So that will help us regardless of who wins this election. So grandkids, have a good night.
Later.